your total testosterone, promoting greater increases in muscle size and twice the reduction of body fat percentage than exercise alone. Plus, an amazing 64% increase in nitric oxide, which can be handy in the gym and in the bedroom. Take your manhood to the max by trying your first 30-day bottle free. Just pay shipping and handling. Not 10 days, not 15 days, but a full 30-day supply free when you text the word FIRE to 797979. Finally, a formula that boosts total testosterone. If your results with Ageless Male Max are too intense, please decrease use. For your free bottle, text FIRE to 797979. Text FIRE to 797979.
As a small business owner, you're juggling it all, including customers' calls from your personal phone. But with Grasshopper, you get a business phone number and a business phone system from our mobile app so you can work smarter, not harder. Grasshopper forwards calls, texts, even transcribes voicemails. Everything you need to simplify your business and stay responsive. With Grasshopper, there's no long-term contracts and customer support is 24/7. Whether you're starting or growing your business, Grasshopper is the answer. Now get $20 off your first month when you visit grasshopper.com/radio.
The way she's always singing, her silly laugh, the way she kisses me hello. This Valentine's Day, I want to turn everything I love about her into the one thing she'll love forever, an engagement ring.
It's the Jared Valentine's Day Diamond Event, February 1st through the 14th. Save up to $1,000 off any diamond when you buy her setting at Jared. And let our expert jewelers help you find or create the one ring that could only be for her. That's why he went to Jared. Some exclusions apply. See Jared.com for details.
With Speed Weeks just days away, no group is fretting more than crew chiefs.
There's lots of new rules on the books, but implementation and the downstream effects of those rules, we just haven't seen yet.
I'm Woody Kane. The story next on NASCAR Today.
Welcome back to Sports View. Next topic. Is it really all about power? Makes me think of Progressive's Name Your Price tool. Gives you the power to find options based on your budget. Let's go to Chuck for an irrelevant analogy.
Man, back in the day, people didn't ask how many oranges are in the crate. They just took the oranges. They didn't say, are there 6, 7, 12, 15, whatever. It was just oranges. You get me?
We get you, Chuck. In a word, oranges.
Give it to us straight with the Progressive Name Your Price tool. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is what it sounds like when real people find out Chevy's the only brand to earn J.D. Power Dependability Awards for cars, trucks, and SUVs 2 years in a row.
I am so impressed.
I think that's great, especially 2 years in a row.
Chevy's stepping up.
That's for sure.
Get behind the wheel and see for yourself why Chevrolet keeps bringing home awards for dependability. Chevrolet. Find new roads.
Awards based on 2013 and 2014 model year vehicles. 2017, most dependable small car, large SUV, large heavy duty pickup, and midsize sporty car. 2016, most dependable midsize car, compact SUV, large heavy duty pickup, and midsize sporty car. For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com.
Kyle Busch's crew chief Adam Stevens narrowly missed a second championship last year, and now we're just days away from the 2018 season with the Advance Auto Parts Clash and qualifying for the Daytona 500 set for Sunday. With a host of changes mandated by NASCAR coming, Stevens said on NASCAR Live last night, eliminating a ride height rule at Daytona will show up first in practice Saturday.
I can tell you, as a crew chief, the most exciting practice I'll ever be involved in up to this point in my career is going to be the first practice at Daytona when we get all these cars out there slammed on the ground out there running around.
We've got live streaming coverage of first practice Saturday morning at 10:30 Eastern Time at MRN.com. I'm Woody Kane. This is NASCAR Today on the Motor Racing Network.
Welcome back. Welcome to our number three of the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming at you on all three KGYM frequencies, 1600 AM, the historic Main Gym, the home of Cyclone men's basketball tonight as they travel to Lubbock to take on Texas Tech. Also heard on 106.3 FM, our South Gym in Iowa City, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids. You guys on the FM dial get Gary Rima and the UNI Panthers. They're at home tonight. Taking on the Bradley Braves will join both broadcasts beginning at 7 o'clock. The 6 o'clock showdown is set for 20-25 minutes from now. On the line tonight, a $50 gift certificate to Hertine & Stocker Jewelers, located at 101 South Dubuque Street in Iowa City. Remember, guys, Valentine's Day is the 14th, a week from today. What better way to say I love you than with a trip to Hertine & Stocker? Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years. More to get to, including the showdown. But first, as promised, we've talked Panther football today with Gary Riva. We've talked Hawkeye football in hour number two with Tom Cakert from HawkeyeReport.com. And now in hour number three, we're going to hit the Cyclones with Alex Halstead of 247sports.com. And Alex, a lot of hullabaloo today about Brock Purdy. He's a three-star recruit, according to 247. What type of player are the Cyclones getting, and why all the excitement?
Yeah, like you said, a big – I think everyone was kind of watching that today. I got onto the Arizona news website today just to kind of see if he did cement it with Iowa State, and I think at one point there were 1,500 people watching. So a lot of people were interested in that recruitment, and it kind of started January 11th. Iowa State already has Real Mitchell committed to this class, but when Jacob Park decided to transfer, I think they felt there was room for another quarterback in that room. And so on January 11th, as the dead period began to come to an end, they offered Brock Purdy, and then in the last 3 weeks, they made a strong push for him. A six foot one, 200 pound quarterback out of Arizona was the Arizona Gatorade Player of the Year this year after passing for 4,400 yards, rushing for 1,000 yards, and 57 touchdowns to 9 interceptions. And Iowa State just really liked his makeup and some of the things he does well. Matt Campbell said today that when he watched his film, he actually watched his interceptions, and he said the thing that stood out to him was a lot of his interceptions are tipped balls and things like that, and not necessarily bad passes behind the guy and things like that. And so they liked a lot of the things he did, and one of the reasons that he really blew up was when Iowa State offered January 11th, he had offered mainly was considering Iowa State, UCF, and Boise State. So probably the two best group of five schools, and then Iowa State. But the next week, Alabama had already offered him a preferred walk-on. They upped it to an immediate scholarship and brought him in on an official visit. And then about a week or so ago, Texas A&M offered him a scholarship and brought him in on a visit. Illinois offered, and then Arizona and Arizona State actually reached out, a home state kid. And he told both schools no. I don't know if he felt disrespected, but they came in after Alabama, and I think he felt like it was just kind of a last-minute thing for the home state school. So obviously a lot of schools coming after him. He narrowed it down to Iowa State and Texas A&M and picked Iowa State today. And I think just the schools coming after him in the three-week rush created a lot of excitement that ended with a commitment today.
Obviously, the quarterback position is one of those that a new coach tries to find their guy for the future. And it's going to be an interesting fall camp because there's going to be a pretty big quarterback competition with or without Kyle Kampton. We'll get news on that later. But does Brock Purdy have a chance to be a part of that quarterback competition right away?
I think he does have a chance to work himself and at least compete for that two deep spot. Like you said, there is kind of a lot of depth. It's crazy. I was thinking today when Matt Campbell arrived at Iowa State a little over 2 years ago, his quarterback room was Joel Lanning, Grant Rohatch, and Dominic DeLira. Grant Rohatch had already decided to transfer to Buffalo, and Dominic DeLira transferred after that spring ball. And so when you think about the quarterback room he had then and the quarterback room he has now, a lot of these guys are young. Zeb Nolan's going to be going into his sophomore year. Real Mitchell and Brock Purdy are both going to be, freshmen. And Devin Moore from Cedar Falls, Waterloo area, is going to be a redshirt freshman. So you're pretty young in that room, like you said, not including Kyle Kemp. But I think they do feel good about at least having some depth and something to build with there. And I think Purdy can definitely put himself in that conversation. I think Real Mitchell can too. Real Mitchell's on campus right now, has been for a month, and he'll go through spring ball. And I think the thing with Real Mitchell is his speed. I wouldn't be surprised if you see him in a Joel Lanning-type package. Now, not this bulldozer-type guy. That's not his game. But Matt Campbell's wanted to find special situations, special packages for guys that they think can help the offense. And, I won't be surprised if they tinker with some of that with Real Mitchell even this spring.
Alex Halstead of 247 Sports joining us on the program. What's the rest of Iowa State's late additions look like? And any other names that stick out to you as people to get excited about? We were talking with Tom Cakert about Iowa's tradition of sometimes these last guys who join the class, they may not have a lot of star power to them, but they wind up being contributors.
Yeah, so one of the guys that signed today had committed a few weeks ago, and he does have the star power because he's Iowa State's top-ranked commit. They're 1 4-star, consensus 4-star, I think. Is Joseph Skates, a wide receiver from Ohio, 6'3", and can really do some incredible things when you watch his film. The thing with him, and he had early offers from a lot of SEC schools and whatnot, but he's had some grade concerns, that he's had to work through, mainly raising his GPA, and he has done that. I don't I think there's still some things. He told me he's got to finish these next 3 months strong. But Iowa State's recruited him since his freshman year, and some of those schools backed off. You know, schools like Alabama and LSU and those SEC-type schools, you know, if there's some concerns, a lot of times they just move on and go get the next four-star guy. And Iowa State stuck with him. You know, their Ohio roots, you know, they recruited him at Toledo and continued to recruit him. And that paid off. You know, they got his commitment, they got him to sign. And like I said, he told me he still has to finish his next 3 months strong. But if they get him in, that could be a really big get. But to your point of, you know, sometimes these guys sneaking through, they did get a kid like that that I think they think could be that. And that's Tavon Kyle, another receiver. He's from Georgia, 6 foot, but he runs like a, I think it's a 49.87, 400-meter dash, his 40-yard or 400 meters in track, and his 4-yard dash time is 4.42. So kind of a burner, that's 6 foot, and I think he's the type of guy that, you know, he was committed to Purdue in December, decommitted, his interest kind of went around, and he could be a guy that in this offense, the way they try to spread and use more speed in the Big 12, could be that sleeper type guy, and I guess we'll find out in years to come, you know, if they did get that today.
Alex, first it was Brian Ferentz, and today it was Tom Herman talking about the way that Iowa State recruits and pointing out that they offer a lot of kids. I think he said that they led all of Power 5 school with scholarship offers. What do you make of I guess the backlash to the way that Matt Campbell and his staff have recruited so far?
Yeah, Matt Campbell kind of just laughed at it, you know, today. I think he said it was flattering, but he didn't really think it was a big deal. I don't think he had seen Herman's comments, but he was asked about it by somebody who had seen it, I think, just a little bit before his press conference. And he said that, you know, as long as they haven't gotten bad feedback from coaches that they've pulled offers or things like that, that, you know, it's not something that, you know, he really concerns himself with. I think you could probably make arguments depending what school – you know, wants to make that argument, but I don't think Texas is probably the best school to make the argument. You know, Texas doesn't have, you know, Herman's point was that they offer kids that they want, or, you know, they don't just put out offers. Well, Texas doesn't have to put out the offers probably that Iowa State does. You know, they today, you know, the top 15 kids in Texas, 14 of the top 15 kids in Texas committed and signed with either Texas or Texas A&M. You know, they just stay home and get the best kids in their state, and they don't have to cast a wide net. I think the one argument I think you can make for Iowa State is that, you know, they do have to cast a wider net, I think, around the country, because in the state of Iowa, first of all, you don't have as much depth recruiting-wise. You know, maybe you have 10 Power 5 kids a year. A couple years ago, there was a really good class that was 15, I think, Power 5 kids, 15, 16. But most years, it's 10. And, you know, Iowa's going to take some of those kids, and, you know, maybe a kid or two goes out of state. And so there's not as much to take from in the state, plus you're competing with another Power 5 school in state. And, you know, I think there's an argument to be made for what Iowa State does. And if you do look at their list, I think they offer a lot of kids that probably aren't realistic from the beginning. You know, they've already got offers out to, you know, a ton of top 100 kids that probably aren't going to end up at Iowa State, but they throw the offers out. And I think that does pile up the list a little bit.
I'm glad you brought up the in-state recruits, because when Matt Campbell arrived in Ames, one of his first promises was that he was going to pound the pavement in the state of Iowa and get as many in-state quality players as he could. How has he done in that regard?
Yeah, so this year they've got a few more. You know, they've, I think, started to get to the point where they can at least compete more in-state in terms of relationships. You know, that first year they got here, it was so late that, you know, there's no way they were going to try or to flip anyone from Iowa or anything like that. You know, the kids that were probably Power 5 kids at that point had already committed to schools. Last year, I think they did a lot of work with Trevor Downing in this class. You know, they offered Trevor Downing from Creston on the fourth day on the job and recruited him hard. You know, actually, Tom Manning, the offensive line coach, just said here a little bit ago that, you know, Downing visited Iowa State 16 times before he committed. And, you know, so they've worked hard on him. You know, they picked up a kind of a sleeper kid in Zach Peterson from North Scott late in this process, and then they got Zach Ross from Dallas. So three more this year, and I think they're really recruiting this next year harder. This next year, I think, in the state of Iowa is pretty deep. You know, Iowa's already got two in-state commits. Iowa State's already got two in-state commits. And there's probably another 6-7 that already have Power 5 offers, and I think this next year in the state of Iowa is a pretty good year, and I think Iowa State, because of their early signing period, spent a lot of time recruiting that. You know, look at Jack Campbell from Cedar Falls. Iowa State went and saw him every week in January allowed. They twice sent five or more assistants to watch his basketball games. And so I think they're trying to keep those kids in state. And obviously you got to go against Iowa. And I think Minnesota's trying to come into Iowa a little bit more with some of these kids, you know, including Jack Campbell. So there's a lot of competition for some of these kids, but I think they're still trying to start at home, and now you're really seeing them try to expand more to St. Louis and Kansas City and Wisconsin and Chicago.
Alex Halstead with us from 24/7 Sports. Iowa State men's basketball in action tonight against Texas Tech. We can touch on that in just a bit. But as you look ahead into the crystal ball for 2019, what are some of the areas where you see Matt Campbell and his staff focusing on position-wise with the next recruiting class?
Yeah, so you know, I think just one quarterback. You know, after taking two this year, I think they will try to get one quarterback next year. Obviously, Max Duggan from Council Bluffs is their top guy, but he's the top guy for a lot of schools. A top 247 quarterback that Iowa wants, that Iowa State wants. He's got Ohio State, Penn State, Georgia. And you go down the list, and he's probably got 15-plus Power 5 offers. And, you know, he's told me he wants to try to get to some visits in the spring and maybe make a decision. So they'll keep pushing for him, but they've kind of started to expand their quarterback list. And so one quarterback, but I think the main position is going to be maybe running back. That's going to be a very important position for them in this next class. Last year they didn't take a running back on signing day. They did end up getting Johnny Lang to walk on from Florida, and I think he's going to end up playing, and he'll be on scholarship now. They didn't take a quarterback this year. And so basically the last 2 years they've passed on a quarterback, and they've been comfortable in David Montgomery and the depth behind him. But, you know, what if David Montgomery has a really good season? And, you know, running back's shelf life is shorter. Does he go pro after a junior year just to, you know, from some of those concerns? I think he'd have to have a really big year to do that. But, you know, that's something out there, and I think they're just going to have to go get a high-level running back next year. So that's one thing. And then, you know, I think they want to continue to build the trenches. You know, the offensive line has been a big area of focus. Two of their top four commits this year are offensive linemen, and so I think you're going to see them try to go after and get some offensive linemen again. They've already got one, Jake Rounsberg from West Des Moines Valley, committed, but they're after a couple other highly touted offensive linemen. So I think offensive line and running back will be two key areas going into 2019.
I think we're still kind of getting an idea of his Matt Campbell's overall recruiting philosophy, but the area of need this year was safety, with Kamari Cotton-Moya and Everett Edwards and Reggie Wilkerson gone, and they went out and they addressed that with some junior college transfers. Do you think there's always going to be kind of that delicate balance based on area of need of junior college and high school kids with Matt Campbell?
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, those first few years we saw a lot heavier on JUCO. This year they took just two JUCOs. A punter, Corey Dunn, who was the top punter they went after, and they got him. An Australian punter who was at Arizona Western. And then Greg Eisworth, the safety from Trinity Valley, who went to Ole Miss and then Trinity Valley, and now he's at Iowa State with still 3 years of eligibility. And so I think this year they went a little bit lighter on that, but I think the way college football recruiting is trending a little bit, I think they'll always try to spot recruit JUCOs. And then I think graduate transfers are becoming a little bit more of a thing in college football. I don't know how crazy that will get. I don't think they'll ever take a ton of grad transfers. But this year, this class is done at 21 commits, but they're still trying to recruit two grad transfers. They've got two options that have already visited for graduate transfer safeties. JT Ibe from Rice has visited, and Patrick Nelson from Illinois has visited. And they'd like to get one of those guys. And so I think you'll see them spot fill positions with a grad transfer, a JUCO here and there, but really try to focus on a base of high school. And we see them go more and more high school as they've built the program, because I think early on they were trying to get some pieces in. And now in the future, you would hope, I think in their eyes, that you can mostly just get young guys and then spot fill when you need to.
Before we let you go, we mentioned Iowa State in action tonight down in Lubbock, taking on Texas Tech. What do the Cyclones need to do in order to maybe put this one in the win column?
Well, then they're going to have to shoot the way they did when Texas Tech came to Ames. Iowa State shot really well that day, and, you know, Donovan Jackson played well. Over the weekend, you know, that Baylor game, Iowa State played well in the first half. I shouldn't say played well. They didn't shoot very well, but they did enough to lead at halftime. But they gave up a 15-0 run in the second half. Their defense was iffy, and their offense really slowed down when Baylor went to his zone. They're still working through, I think, the Lindell Wigginton thing. He's at times showed really good glimpses now that he's their full-time point guard with Nick Weiler-Babb out. But at times you can see the learning curve there too. And so I think, you know, in the first half against Baylor, he played really well. Then he didn't score. I don't know if he scored in the second half against Baylor when they went to his zone. They kind of forced him to do something different, and he went with it, and the offense slowed. And Iowa State's not very good when their offense goes at a slow pace. So I think they have to control the game the way they want to and not let Texas Tech slow them down. You know, Texas Tech's a good defensive team that allowed Iowa State to shoot well in Ames, and so I don't see it happening. They haven't played great on the road, but if they want to be competitive, I think you know, they're going to need a big shooting night, and I think it starts with Wendell Wigginton.
Great stuff, as always, Alex. We'll send people 24/7 Sports Way so they can read your stuff. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Cyclones putting the wraps on that recruiting class and doing so in a big way. Brock Purdy again. We were having a conversation. Somebody asked me in the office earlier today, what's all the fuss about this quarterback? He's just a three-star guy. And Alex did a good job of making the case there about some of the late interest in him. And I think that's really, to me, what we're seeing with the two signing periods is it puts a lot more emphasis on some of these guys who didn't sign the first time around. And maybe an opportunity for teams who thought they had situations addressed to basically at the last minute address them, or to go out and to try to take a guy away who maybe has some offers from other schools that are a little lower on the pecking order. You mentioned some of the non-Power 5 teams that were looking at him, but certainly looks to be, at least on paper, an impressive option. And I don't think Kyle Kemp is coming back. I don't think the NCAA is going to grant him another year of eligibility. So, again, quarterback depth becomes an issue for the Cyclones. So you're always asking a lot for a true freshman to step on campus and contribute. Nathan Stanley did for the Hawkeyes a couple years ago. Didn't really play a ton, but they did have him active as a true freshman. It's not out of the realm of possibility, but this is a guy we're probably going to be talking about a year or two from now, but not necessarily in the 2018 discussion.
I think that's a distinct possibility, but I think even if Kyle Kemp is back, I still think it's going to be a competition. I think Iowa State was really missing a difference maker at that quarterback position, and a guy that could not only distribute the football but had a strong arm and could make throws with authority, which is something that at times Kyle Kemp was lacking with those targets. The big-time targets on the outside that Iowa State had, along with David Montgomery as their running back. So I like what I saw from Zeb Noland, and whenever you get a new coach in town, that's the first thing that you're wondering. Who is going to be that quarterback? Who is going to be the guy to take over this program and run with it? And so far, no one has emerged as that guy. Some people thought it was going to be Jacob Park. That clearly didn't work out, and now he's going to be searching for a new quarterback. So you can never have too many of them, and when I think it's a good idea for any coach, because of how big of a crapshoot the quarterback position is at every level, especially making a jump like any high school quarterback does, you can never have too many of them. So I think it's a good idea to bring two in every year.
You can never have too many $50 gift certificates to Hertin & Stocker Jewelers in Iowa City either. Unfortunately, we're only giving you the chance to win one of them today, but that'll come up in just a few minutes on the 6 o'clock showdown. 6:26, we've got to step aside for a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll have another Midwest One Bank Big Board update for you. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, 106.3 FM, our South Gym in Iowa City, 107.5 FM, the North Gym here in Cedar Rapids, and 1600 AM, the historic Main Gym, heard all across eastern Iowa, with you for another 25 minutes tonight before we turn things over to the Cyclones and the Panthers. Back with more after this.
Good sportsmanship matters during the game and in life. So Fairfax State Savings Bank and the Gym are proud to shine the spotlight on KGYM's Community MVP,
recognizing good sports around here and letting you know how to get in the game too.
On March 3rd, St. Joseph's Catholic School will be hosting their biggest fundraiser of the year, the 2018 Shamrock Gala, and are in need of donations for the silent auction. Money raised will be used for new, safer bleachers in their gym. Can you help?
Details at kgymradio.com. Click on Community MVP.
Check, check, and check. Whole to-do list done. And it's game time.
I only gave you that list an hour ago.
Right.
You fixed the dishwasher, washed the dog, and got us a mortgage in less than an hour?
Yep. Dishwasher was simple, Bruno was no trouble, and I got us an online mortgage at Fairfax State Savings Bank, where we were approved in like 20 minutes.
You demand, babe. Let's watch that game. High five.
Fairfax State Savings Bank. Visit thebankhere.com for a mortgage or refinance today. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Have you been to the Fieldhouse lately? Yeah, the Fieldhouse. You know, the one and only Hawkeye Bar in Cedar Rapids. The sports bar where the food never takes second place. The famous happy hour that everybody loves. That's the one, the Fieldhouse. Bring your buddies for lunch this week. Stop in and grab a table or order online at fieldhouse1stav.com. Give your lunch hour a shot of black and gold pride at the Fieldhouse on First Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Cedar Rapids Iowa City Help Wanted.com presents the world's worst boss, the one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
Underlings, I'm sensing some tension between us lately, so I'm proposing a peace offering.
A peace offering?
Yes, by this time tomorrow, you are all expected to give me a peace offering. Gifts, cash, compliments, whatever.
What do we get out of it?
You get to keep working here, if your peace offering is deemed worthy.
Don't work for a Dave. Find a boss you can respect, one who's looking for great and local talent at Cedar Rapids Iowa City Help Wanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Welcome back in, almost to the bottom of the hour. Remember, the 6 o'clock showdown is right around the corner. You may want to put this number in your phone so it's handy, 319-366-1600. It doubles as the Hertine & Stocker text line, and what a coincidence. We got that $50 gift certificate from Hertine & Stocker to give away tonight. Can't do it before we get to another Big Board update, Midwest 1, where you're the one.
Iowa fell just short of a big upset over number 4 Michigan State last night, falling 96-93. Tyler Cook led 5 Hawkeyes who reached double figures with a game-high 26 points, while Jordan Bohannon chipped in 17 despite battling an illness for the past few days. But the Hawkeyes allowed the Spartans to shoot 56% from the floor and nearly 50% from 3. It's National Signing Day in college football, and the Hawkeyes came into the day with most of their class already secured. But the Cyclones reeled in a big one when they learned that 3-star quarterback Brock Purdy out of Arizona would be enrolling at Iowa State over offers from Alabama and Texas A&M. They also got a commitment from speedy 3-star receiver Tavon Kyle out of Georgia, who also held offers from Purdue, Maryland, and West Virginia. Kirk Ferentz spoke about the class today in Iowa City and also introduced new assistant coach Derek Foster. He's going to be the new running backs coach and will likely recruit in the Southeast region. It was also announced that the spring game will be on 420, a Friday night, and will not be in Des Moines this year. Iowa basketball commit Joe Wieskamp became the all-time scorer in Iowa high school basketball history last night. He needed 31 and scored 44 to pass former Hawkeye Jeff Horner. Tonight after the show, we're going to have Iowa State on the road at number 7 Texas Tech. They're surely looking for revenge after the Cyclones upset them in Ames when they were ranked 8th on January 20th. We're also going to have the UNI men hosting Bradley. The Braves are tied for 3rd in the MVC while the Panthers are trying to get out of the cellar. And you can hear that game on 106.3 FM the South Gym or 107.5 FM the North Gym.
I may regret asking you this, Alex, but do you think we're going to be able to pull this off this week?
I think we will.
A problem-free 6 o'clock showdown?
Let me ask you this question before I give you my full confidence.
Last Boxers.
Time, we were just on the FMs, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I think we will. I think
okay.
I know.
Okay, all right. So hopefully a hiccup-free edition of the 6 o'clock showdown. Here's the deal. I've got 7 questions. Alex has 7 questions. We just swapped them back and forth. You've got 60 seconds. If you can beat your opponent, you're going to take home tonight's $50 gift certificate to Hertine & Stocker Jewelers in Iowa City. 319-366-1600. The first 2 callers are our showdown contestants tonight. We'll find out who they are and who is victorious when we return.
Guys, get to JCPenney and show her some love. Now through Valentine's Day, find gifts she'll love like select fine and fashion jewelry up to 70% off after an extra 20% off with your JCPenney credit card and coupon. Or for rewards members, get 1/10 carat total weight diamond studs or pendant for just $25 each while supplies last. Hurry in and find the gifts that will make her Valentine's Day. JCPenney. Coupon valid 2H214. Credit offer subject to credit approval. Support excluded from coupon. Other exclusions apply. Offers represent savings on regular original prices while supplies last. Some exclusions apply. See store jcp.com for details.
Welcome back to Sports View. Today's topic, who deserves to win big this season? My 2 cents, good drivers. I mean, that's why there's Snapshot from Progressive. Let's go to Rick for some confusing metaphors.
Look, if you put a classically trained cellist in a garage band and you tell him to play Filet Mignon, I guarantee you, the meat on that burrito ain't gonna light the candle.
Thanks for clarifying, Rick.
If you're a good driver, there's no other way to say it. You deserve discounts with Snapshot. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Snapshot not available in California, North Carolina, or from all agents.
As a small business owner, you're juggling it all, including customers' calls from your personal phone. But with Grasshopper, you get a business phone number and a business phone system from our mobile app so you can work smarter, not harder. Grasshopper forwards calls, texts, even transcribes voicemails. Everything you need to simplify your business and stay responsive. With Grasshopper, there's no long-term contracts and customer support is 24/7. Whether you're starting or growing your business, Grasshopper is the answer. Now get $20 off your first month when you visit grasshopper.com/radio.
Dance to your own beat this Valentine's Day. Purchase $699 or more at Helzberg Diamonds and get a free Mega Blast waterproof speaker plus power-up charger with built-in Amazon Alexa, a $339.98 value. Helzberg quality, style, and selection make it easy to find that perfect something, and this incredible speaker makes it a blast. So hurry into Helzberg Diamonds and dance out with this unbeatable offer while supplies last.
Like all of history's great battles and that one episode of Seinfeld.
I'm out.
There can only be one winner.
I can't believe I'm losing to this guy.
Let's meet this week's showdown contestants.
6:34 and off to Marion we go. Troy is going to be answering the questions I've got in my hand. And Zach's in Cedar Rapids. He's with Alex tonight. Gentlemen, how we doing?
Good, how are you?
We're hanging in there.
Good. Doing good.
All right. I am going to exercise my executive privilege here, Alex, and I am going to ask Troy if he'd like to go first or second tonight. Troy, the choice is yours, first or second?
I'll go first.
Okay, so here's the deal. 7 questions, 60 seconds. If you don't know the answer, say pass, and we'll try to get back to it if there's enough time, and then that's going to be the mark that you'll set for Zach and Alex. So on your mark, we'll be ready to go.
Okay.
All right. Russell Wilson was traded by the Texas Rangers to what American League East team today?
Blue Jays.
Who does UNI basketball play tonight?
Pass.
According to 24/7 Sports, what Big Ten school has the conference's best football recruiting class?
Ohio State.
Which NBA star tore his ACL last night against the Milwaukee Bucks?
Kristaps Porzingis.
Which Big Ten player does ESPN's Todd McShay say has the top grade of any player in the NFL draft?
Pass.
Which basketball coach does Matt Norlander of CBS Sports say is on the hottest seat in the Big Ten?
Tom Izzo.
Josh McDaniels decided he was going to stay in New England as the offensive coordinator. Where was McDaniels' last head coaching job?
Broncos.
I got 4, right?
It's correct.
4? Okay.
I got 4.
The bar, I like this.
All right,
the bar,
Zach, you think you have 5 in you?
Let's hope so.
All right, well, if you don't know the answer, just say pass. Your 60 seconds will begin right now. Which former Hawkeye did Joe Wieskamp pass last night to become the state's all-time scoring leader in Class 4A? Matt Patricia is the new head coach of the Detroit Lions. Who had the job before him?
Jim Caldwell.
What NL West team originally drafted Russell Wilson in 2010? Was it Colorado, San Diego, San Francisco, or Arizona?
Colorado.
KG Wyam is taking a bus trip to see the Cubs on May 12th. Who are they playing that day?
Cincinnati.
The Minnesota Twins will be without Irvin Santana to begin the year. What body part did he injure recently?
Elbow.
The San Francisco Giants are retiring Barry Bonds number 25 this summer. What number did Bonds wear in Pittsburgh?
24.
And which sport has the honor of opening this week's Winter Olympics? Was it skating, bobsledding, curling, or hockey?
Curling.
We have a tie.
We have an old-fashioned tie. So here's what we're going to do, gentlemen. We've got a tie-breaking question. It's something that has come up on the program earlier tonight, so if you've been listening, you may have the inside advantage. If you want to take a shot at answering it, just say your name out loud. The first person to say their name after I ask the question is going to get the first shot at it. But if you're wrong, the other person automatically wins it, okay? So the tie-breaking question, and again, if you want to try to answer it, just say your name. Iowa State picked up a commitment today from high school quarterback Brock Purdy. He chose the Cyclones over an SEC football program. Which school wanted to recruit Purdy?
Zach. Texas A&M
is the correct answer. The Aggies losing out to the Cyclones. Congratulations, Troy. We appreciate you playing tonight. And I thought we set the bar pretty high, but Zach not only cleared it, he's taken home that $50 gift certificate to Hertin and Stocker Jewelers in Iowa City. We'll put him on hold.
That was a really good game.
You know what it was? And you had to go curling, right? Opening. Not only that, and I didn't know, I think maybe this is the first year they've ever done this. It's mixed curling, which probably has piqued the interest of KGYM sports director
mixed
Scott
curling?
Unash.
So,
men, women, dogs, and cats.
Co-ed curling.
Yeah, co-ed curling. Actually, starting, I think, tonight. Now, in Pyeongchang, it's February 8th in South Korea. So
that opening ceremony tomorrow is going to be cold.
Which is tonight.
Which
right?
is tonight.
Tonight, tomorrow, and then it's on delay. And the TV
I'm
broadcast
so confused right
is delayed for a lot of stuff. And I'm trying to think in real time here, but I'm pretty sure that our tonight is their tomorrow. And so tonight is the beginning of the Winter Olympics. Mixed curling.
Is that new?
I think so. Coming soon to KGYM, Curling Night in America. Russell Wilson was traded today, and I know the first question right out, you could hear, what? The Texas Rangers traded him to the New York Yankees. Russell Wilson, a little bit of a baseball career before he settled on football. Bradley is the opponent for the UNI men tonight. Saquon Barkley has the top grade of any player in the NFL draft, according to Todd McShay of ESPN.
Jeff Horner was who Joe Wieskamp passed last night as the all-time leading scorer in Class 4A. KGY, we're taking a bus trip on May the 12th. The Cubs are taking on the Chicago White Sox. It was the Crosstown Cup, right? Is that what it's called? Crosstown
yeah.
rivalry.
Yeah.
And Irvin Santana, Mark Dukes, was not happy about this today.
This is a good guess, by the way, for a pitcher. What body part did he injure? Elbow was a really good guess.
Luckily for Twins fans, it's not as major as an elbow would be. It would be a finger that Irvin Santana injured and will need surgery on, correct?
Yes, and he's going to miss, I believe, after spring training, it's going to be about the first 6 to 8 weeks, 6, 7 weeks of the regular season. Yu Darvish is out there, I'm just saying. Everybody's out there at this point. The hot stove is so ice cold that the big news today involved a football player being traded. It was a courtesy, essentially, to him, Russell Wilson. He wanted to play for the Yankees. They're his favorite team. And so Texas has sent him for future considerations. We found out, thanks to my pal Boston Bo, who listens to the program fairly religiously, although I don't believe he's too religious of a person. Four players off the top of his head in baseball history that have been traded for one another, including, as I mentioned earlier, the immortal Dickie Knowles, which Philadelphia, former Cub. He was with the Phillies, and I think he eventually wound his way back to Philadelphia.
You know, this is completely off topic, but this hasn't been brought up yet, and I'm a little bit I'm sad that we buried the lead today, but we mentioned at the top that Iowa
covered the spread,
which yeah. means no extra cottage cheese for you.
Yeah, and no, you're off the hook. You don't have to buy me lunch. You got to buy everybody else lunch. That's part of the pick six punishment.
I think I'll just,
but
we'll meet halfway, and I'll get you a regular lunch.
I'll go. I thought you were going to be like, I'll get you the cottage cheese. You pay for everything else. What if we go someplace that doesn't have cottage cheese? I'll have to eat a French fry or two. 319-366-1600-9693 Carver Hawkeye Arena last night. Iowa looked good. Looked really good. And I think that has a lot of Hawkeye basketball fans saying, where has this been all season? Fair question. And it was asked of a couple of the players last night. And Fran McCaffrey was very complimentary of the crowd. I thought they fed off the energy of the crowd really well. Let's hear a little bit from Fran McCaffrey. You want to do that?
Yes.
Just taking a look here. I was there last night. I'm running down in my head. Let's hear Let's hear Fran talk about Maishi Daly. I thought Maishi Daly was good last night. So did Tom Izzo, even though at halftime, as Izzo was going into the locker room, he said something that Hawkeye fans viewed as derogatory toward Daly. He said he wasn't a very good shooter. I think he meant he traditionally wasn't a great three-point shooter. But Daly was pretty good last night and came up big, especially as Iowa grabbed the lead in the second half. He wound up 5 of 7 from the floor, 3 of 5 from three-point range, 17 minutes, 13 points. Here's Fran McCaffrey talking about Maishi Daly stepping up.
Yeah, I thought he was really good in both halves. I mean, he hit a couple big threes in the second half. That's what you remember. But he hit one in the first half. I thought, you know, he handled the ball. You know, able to give J-Bo a rest there a little bit. I thought his activity level and defense on the glass was really good. I think he's gaining confidence.
I mentioned Fran McCaffrey talking about the crowd. The energy at Carver Hawkeye Arena was great last night. People that say that building can't carry a team, or that it can't be loud, or it can't be raucous. Carver was raucous at times last night. The problem is, the minute that Michigan State makes a basket, people are sitting on their hands again. And the majority of the crowd just doesn't have it in them to dial it up and keep it there over an extended period of time. Plus, you got the little old lady or the old man, 10 rows. Somebody said last night that a guy walked 10 rows down the steps to whoever the first row standing up was and told him to sit down, because if they sat down, maybe the people behind them would sit down and all the way on up. If you're going to a game and you're telling people to sit down, that's not a them problem, it's a you issue. Not to crib too much from Colin Cowherd, whom you used to hear right here on KGYM back in the day, but if people are standing up at a basketball game, they are not the problem. Now, look, if the game is going on and some guy is standing up and he's trying to dig out his wallet, or he's texting, he's blocking your view while he's chit-chatting with the neighbor, okay, yeah, sit your butt down. But if people are standing up and cheering and doing what crowds are supposed to do, it's always bothered me. You go to a baseball game, football game, basketball game, anything, when they have to put on the Jumbotron, make noise.
Do your job.
I guess there are always some people who maybe have never experienced a sporting event before, but yeah, you shouldn't have to tell your crowd to make noise. And they sort of had to do that last night at Carver Hawkeye Arena, especially they're trying to start a new tradition.
That's like, I guess, going to a restaurant and them saying, eat food.
Yeah. February 6th is an interesting time to start a new tradition, because it's 2/3 of the season's already over. You would think maybe just started at the beginning of the year so everybody was on the same page. They wanted everybody to stand up during the introductions and then sit down after the first points last night. Some people did. Not a whole lot wound up doing it, but Carver was great last night, and Fran McCaffrey said so afterwards.
You have a young team. Seemed like they really fed off the crowd tonight. Did you notice that? And did you think the crowd?
Was fabulous. You know, you never know what, you know, when it's snowing or snow is expected, and the game's on ESPN. You know, and it's the late game. You know, what's the crowd going to look like? But our fans are amazing. They were phenomenal tonight. We had that one stretch where I kind of rode that one unit for a while, and we were going pretty quick. So that's hard, you know, to get stops and run outs, and then because you got to move. They're on you. They're physical. That's why they foul a lot, but you know they're physical, and that's, you know, that wears you down over time. But I thought Cordell was great. Really proud of him tonight.
How about that crowd? And they were phenomenal. Cordell was really great tonight. Fran was kind of about, he took that loss in stride last night. You could tell that he viewed it as a positive for that team, as did the players. I mentioned in hour number one, I thought they were going to be downtrodden and depressed. And what I saw was a bunch of college kids who understood they gave their all for 40 minutes. They took the number 4 team in the country down to the wire and darn near beat them on their home floor, Carver Hawkeye Arena. They were not happy to lose the game, but I think they were relatively pleased with the effort. Tom Izzo was a big fan of Tyler Cook, as well as Cordell Pemsel and a couple of the Hawkeyes. Pemsel was good last night, 19 minutes, 11 total points, 7 boards, perfect from the floor, 4-of-4 shooting. And I asked him afterwards, I said, what does it mean to you to have a coach of Tom Izzo's stature say you're a load? And you could tell he really took that compliment to heart. And those guys, we talked about it yesterday on the show, they were going up against a couple players in Spartan uniforms that are going to be first-round draft picks in the NBA next year. Miles Bridges, if you want to see the difference between an NBA player and a college player, look at Miles Bridges compared to virtually everybody on the Hawkeye roster last year. Just bigger, muscular, quicker. It's
Jaren Jackson, too. As a freshman, 6'11". Has those kind of moves in the post. He's still filling out. And I think they said it a couple of times on the broadcast, and Jess Settles said it on our show yesterday. He could be the number one pick in the draft. And there are a lot of really good players out there. DeAndre Ayton of Arizona comes to mind, and Trey Young, of course, and Marvin Bagley. And there are plenty. This draft, this NBA draft is going to be loaded. But Jaren Jackson, Michigan State, 6'11", still filling out, and he's not skinny by any means, and the way he performs in the post, and he can step out and shoot it 40% from beyond the arc, that's very difficult to defend. So what I hear people bringing up the fact that the defense wasn't very good last night, it continues to be bad. I thought that they played much harder, and I thought they played much better defensively last night. Of course, they're not great defensively, but when you're going up against that Michigan State team, there were a lot of mismatches on the court, obviously.
Again, 96-93, Iowa did everything that it could to win that game last night, and ultimately winds up falling to 12-14 on the year, 3-10 overall, 5 games remaining, and the Hawkeyes will hit the road this weekend. It doesn't get any easier. They're taking on Ohio State in Columbus. You talked yesterday with Jess Settles about Chris Holtmann running away with Big Ten Coach of the Year honors. If I had a vote, I don't know anybody else who would get it at this point. Maybe Pat Chambers at Penn State.
Or Tim Miles, maybe. But
I think, and now Chris Holtmann inherited some pretty good players, but why is it all the other Butler coaches go elsewhere and find success? Barry Collier had okay success. He wasn't great or anything, but Thad Matta goes to Xavier and then Ohio State. Chris Holtmann goes to Ohio State. Brad Stevens goes to the Celtics. Eastern Iowa got Todd Licklider. 6:51, we're going to take a quick timeout. We'll have more of the show, the final couple minutes for you, and a last big board update when we return after this.
For all those times you wish you would have known.
Hey, nice look, Kevin. Your shirt's on inside out.
Yeah, that coupon expired a week ago.
Of course it did.
But Dad, school pictures are today!
All right, back upstairs then.
Sorry, we closed at 4.
Really? Come on.
In a world fraught with fraud, DuPaco Community Credit Union is on a mission to protect your identity, your credit, and your financial position. That's why we offer simple, effective tools for helping you to stay in the know about your account activity, credit score, and more. And they're absolutely free for all DuPaco members.
So, now I know.
Access your credit monitoring tools anytime through DuPaco's online banking or app. Not a DuPaco member? Join today in branch or online at DuPaco.com. Equal housing opportunity, federally insured by NCUA.
When she says,
"Thanks, Valentine,"
she really means, "You didn't get it right, but I'm being nice." Well, this year, get a
"You're the best Valentine"
with Sweetopia handmade chocolates. These hand-painted artisan chocolates are almost as beautiful as her, and she'll think they're amazing. Come in and choose a ready-to-go box or customize your favorites at Sweetopia.
Best Valentine ever!
Sweetopia, inside Nubo City Market, 3rd Street, Southeast, in Cedar Rapids.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
And just because we have not given you a Tum Tum Narn update on the program tonight, 17 minutes last night, 2 points, no rebounds. Given name?
Lou Rawls.
Lou Rawls. His parents named him Lou Rawls. Why the hell are you calling him Tum Tum for?
The best moment
Lou
of
Rawls
my...
is a hell of a name.
I don't know if I should be admitting to the fact that I was listening to the broadcast last night on the radio or not, but my favorite moment of last night was listening to Gary Dolphin say, and now checking into the game, Lou Rawls, Tum Tum Nairn.
Tum Tum. If your parents name you Lou Rawls, I thought for a second there you were going to say that maybe Alex was a nickname and that your real name was Lou Rawls or something. If your parents are going to name you Lou Rawls, go by Lou Rawls. That's an awesome name. Maybe he's not a big fan. I don't know. Spartans looked good. Spartans also looked like they could have some issues come tournament time if they run up against a team with three or four Tyler Cooks. Unfortunately, Iowa only had one last night. They really couldn't slow him down. He was 11 of 22 from the field. 26 points, led all scorers, outscored Bridges. Bridges finished with 25. And, yeah, Izzo looked like a, I'm telling you, Izzo looked like a downtrodden, defeated, beaten man. And it had nothing to do with the outcome of the game. I get the feeling he knows it may be months from now, it may be a year from now, he's not going to make it past this fallout from the Larry Nassar case. I think D'Antonio is as good as done, and when everything is said and done, it's going to be awfully hard for Tom Izzo to stand on that moral high ground. And I got all this from his body language in the post game last night. Again, just one man's opinion. Let's send it over to Kyle. He's got your final Midwest One Bank Big Board update of the night. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Iowa fell just short of a big upset over number 4 Michigan State last night, falling 96-93. Tyler Cook led 5 Hawkeyes who reached double figures with a game-high 26 points, while Jordan Bohannon chipped in 17, despite battling an illness for the past few days. But the Hawkeyes allowed the Spartans to shoot 56% from the floor and nearly 50% from three. It's National Signing Day in college football, and the Hawkeyes came into the day with most of their class already secured. But the Cyclones reeled in a big one when they learned that 3-star quarterback Brock Purdy out of Arizona would be enrolling at Iowa State over offers from Alabama and Texas A&M. They also got a commitment from speedy 3-star receiver Tavon Kyle out of Georgia, who also held offers from Purdue, Maryland, and West Virginia. Kirk Ferentz spoke about his class today in Iowa City and also introduced new assistant coach Derek Foster. He's going to be the new running backs coach and will likely recruit in the Southeast region. It was also announced that the spring game will be on 4/20, a Friday night, and will not be in Des Moines this year. Iowa basketball commit Joe Wieskamp became the all-time scorer in Iowa high school basketball history last night. He needed 31 and scored 44 to pass former Hawkeye Jeff Horner. Tonight after the show, we're going to have Iowa State on the road at number 7 Texas Tech. They're surely looking for revenge after the Cyclones upset them in Ames when they were ranked 8th on January 20th. We're also going to have the UNI men hosting Bradley. The Braves are tied for 3rd in the MVC while the Panthers are trying to get out of the cellar. And you can hear that game on 106.3 FM the South Gym or 107.5 FM the North Gym.
All right, we're sending you that way in just a few minutes. Gary Rima on our FM frequencies, caught up with him earlier tonight. If you just joined the program a couple minutes ago, we talked with Gary. You heard him at 4:30. That's 106.3, 107.5 FM, Bradley and UNI, 1600 AM. Off to bucolic Lubbock, Texas for Chris Beard and the Red Raiders and Steve Prohm and the Cyclones. Our pal John Walters calling the action. Coming up on the program tomorrow, it's Thursday. That means another edition of Woodja, plus a $50 gift certificate to Hertin and Stocker Jewelers on the way. Remember, Cubs White Sox bus trip, May 12th. Tickets available online right now. Our website, kgymradio.com. Buy them right now. Looking forward to it. Should be a great time. Thanks for listening on a Wednesday, and hope to have you with us tomorrow.